Hey, this is Jonathan Goodman, and I have super exciting news. My book is almost here. It's called The Obvious Choice, and I wanted to invite you to join the book launch team. To join, all that you need to do is send me a DM on either Twitter or Instagram that says launch. I'm at It's Coach Goodman, and I'll give you all of the information there. Hope to see you in the group. Meenakshi, what's going on?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for your patience. So you know the drill by now. Share, please.
I'm Meenakshi. I live in Denver, Colorado. I'm originally from India, and I moved to the US 8 years ago. And that's kind of where my own fitness journey started. And that's how I ended up coaching the women that I do. It's mostly Indian immigrant women. And that's my avatar. And I've been coaching for the last 2 years. I joined OTM back in February, and things have been going amazingly well since then. But something that I do struggle with, and something that Anne did mention, was I struggle with letting go of control. And so I'm like a one-woman show right now. I do social media, and I do the coaching, and I love the coaching part of it, but I'm like, how do I do the coaching while doing the business side of it? And, you know, my success coach is Drea, and so we've been talking about possibly finally hiring like an assistant coach, you know, to offload some of the fulfillment stuff during the week, because I'm very communicative with my clients. I check in with them a couple of times a week just via messaging and stuff. And so, you know, just get someone to help with that sort of stuff. Having said that, I also still feel like I do drop, when one thing's going well, I tend to drop the ball in something else.
Sure.
Like social media is going really well. I had like a bunch, my best month yet in September. And then as a result of all the enrollment calls and stuff, social media kind of like, you know, so... I think I'm just like, how do I let go of some of the stuff where, even with clients, for example, I'm just like, people are paying to work with me. What if I now tell them that, you know, I'm also getting another coach on board? How are they going to receive that? Would they still be willing to sign on? You know, so I think I just struggle with how do I let go of some of that stuff, even just for me mentally.
All types of Indian women, where in India, what? Because culturally, India can be very, very different.
Yes, very different. But when I say Indian, it is all over India, but it's Indian immigrant women. So not really women living in India. It's mostly women, Indian women living in Australia. I do have clients in Australia, UK, and the US.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm reasonably familiar with your clientele. So my brother-in-law is Bengali. So we spent a lot of time with his family, particularly with his aunts, and had a lot of conversations with them, because the minute that they find out I'm a personal trainer.
Yeah.
Oof. Because culturally, I mean, I don't need to tell you this, right? They were brought up to basically be gluttonous.
Mm-hmm.
And then they moved to Canada and have figured out that, you know, perhaps it's not the best idea to eat a tremendous amount of food and never move. So I think it's a phenomenal market. I think it's a very important market. I think it's also kind of getting ahead of it. There's a massive cultural shift.
Yep.
And there's also like really good, you know, dates throughout the year that you can kind of prepare for. So there's two things you said that I kind of wrote notes on that I want to touch on. The first is this idea of when one thing's going well, other things seem to drop off. That just tells me you need systems for repeatability in what you're doing. And so we'll talk about that a little bit. And then the second one is the fear that I think a lot of coaches have, which is, but they're buying me. How can I possibly hire another coach because they're hiring me? Let's deal with that one first, because that's a fun one to deal with. When did you say that you joined OTM again? I know you mentioned
it. February of this year.
February. So you've been in OTM for 8 months. How many times have you and I spoken?
This is the first time.
Okay. How did you originally apply for OTM?
I've been following you forever. I also did precision nutrition. So I did see a bunch of your posts in there. And so I followed you, and I did get some of like the podcasts. I do listen to your podcast and all of that. And then finally I was like, okay, I'm reaching saturation when it comes to my coaching. I need to know, figure out how to scale from here.
So when you joined OTM, then would it be accurate to say that you joined because you trusted me?
Yes.
And yet you've been in the program for 8 months, and this is the first time we've spoken. But You've had tremendous success and gotten a lot of value out of the program. I think the biggest misconception with that fear is people think that when they're present as a personal brand, somebody watching them wants to work specifically with them. Really, what you're doing is there's a trust transfer. And so people will be attracted to you. People will be referred to you because their client, you know, your clients had success and they know people and they've passed on that name. They're approaching you because they trust you. They're not approaching you because they feel like they have to work with you. It's your job then to transfer that trust and not let down that trust. But you're not the one who has to fulfill the service. In fact, you can't. And don't get me wrong, there are 100% people who DM me every single day who say, hey, I'm only going to take a phone call to apply for OTM if I can talk to you. And we say to every single one of them, I'm sorry, but that's not possible. But this person who you will talk to is amazing. And some of them say, no, that's not good. It's fine. It's fine. And some of them say, yo, I totally get it. So, you know, this worry is largely unfounded, but I get it because I felt that way for the longest time. And then the worst part of the worry, Meenakshi, is that once you actually hire somebody else and you have clients working with that person and those clients never ask to talk to you for 8 months when they're in your program, it'll actually feel really bad for your own ego because you're like, well, I guess I'm not as needed as much as I thought that I was.
Right.
So think of it as a trust transfer. Don't let people down.
Yeah.
It's not to say you won't ever let people down. It's inevitable over the course of business, especially businesses that deal with people from significantly different cultural backgrounds, like ours, where there's just different cultural norms. Like you have a client in Europe, you have a client in Australia, you have a client in India, and then you have a client in Canada, let's say. The cultural norms amongst those four clients are so different. The expectations are so different. Their backgrounds are so different that it's actually unreasonable to think that you can provide one service that they're all going to accept as being reasonably the right type of service for them. So no matter what you do, no matter what how you do it, how good of a job you do with what kind of intentions you do it with, there are going to be people that will feel like they have not been treated as well as they should have been treated. That can be hard to overcome as a business owner. You can start to really second guess what you're doing. But then you take from any negative experience with somebody who works under your umbrella and you look at the cases individually and you say, oh, you know, were they really mistreated? Is there something here to investigate? We've had to let coaches go. Or is this going to help us better figure out which types of clients we should work with and improve our application process to weed out the people who our services are not good for? Not that they're not good people. It's just impossible to build a scalable business where you serve everybody.
Right.
It just doesn't work. You can't build systems around that. So you just get better over time. You know, it's the same Feynman's ants thing. It's like sketching. Not that, you know, not that different of a theory. So I guess what I'm saying is, don't worry about it. I guess what I took 10 minutes to say is, don't worry about it. I mean, really, you're passing on trust. Hey, really exciting news. My book, The Obvious Choice, is almost here, and I wanted to invite you to join the book launch team. Now, for those of you who don't know, The Obvious Choice teaches you how to get more customers and pray to social media gods less. Shopify's president said that if you're selling something, you need this book in your life. So what's the book launch team? For context, I've done 8 different million-dollar launches online, and I've never shared my strategies up until now. Because if you join the book launch team, you're going to get, in addition to a chance to win $10,000 in cash prizes, the entire behind the scenes of the launch. You're going to get exclusive and early chapters. you're going to get a couple of different presentations from me and access to me, in addition to networking with other amazing people like you. So, in order to join the book launch team, if you are interested, I'd love to see you in there. Send me a DM, please, on either Instagram or Twitter. I'm at It's Coach Goodman. That just says launch. And what I'll do is I'll send you all of the information. Thanks so much. Hope to see you in there. Let's talk about the systems thing, though. What's the biggest problem that your people have that you help them fix? Number one biggest problem in their own minds, not yours.
You mean with my clients?
Yes.
Just getting started.
What does that mean?
Most of them don't know where to start with eating right. They don't know where to start strength training. They struggle with consistency.
Okay, talk to me about eating. Where do they start?
Most people think that they need to do restrictive diets. And I'm just like, you can do this eating foods you've grown up with eating. You just need to know how to, honestly, like, it's so simple with Indians is they just don't eat enough protein. A lot of them are vegetarian. I just help them figure out to get, you know, vegetarian protein while still eating foods they've grown up eating. So then they feel, okay, this is sustainable. So it's literally the basics. I don't do any like before and after pictures. I don't give them like these insane transformations and stuff. It's just,
what are some of the foods they grew up eating?
Like rice and lentils and yogurt and not as many veggies and stuff. Yeah.
The key thing with building consistency is understanding how to, particularly if your business markets itself on social media, is playing the game, not letting the game play you, is being in control of your social media, not letting your social media control you. The problem is that social media, the goals of the social media companies are radically different than your goals in using social media. It would be different if your goal was to become a full-time influencer.
Right.
It's not. Right?
Yep.
It's not. Your goal, their goal, is for you to be on social media as regularly, as often, and for as long as humanly possible, and to create as much content as you possibly can for free for them. That's their goal. Totally fine. You can't knock them. It's not unreasonable that that's their goal. That's what you want to do. So their insights, their reward mechanisms are all going to push you towards their goals. Your goal in using social media is to spend as little time as possible on that thing as you possibly can, build a business, book the calls, and then get the heck off. Those are radically different goals. And so what's very, very important is you figure out how to use social media for your goals, not social media's goals. And that means that you're not going to optimize your use of it. There's a difference between good information and bad advice. Good information on how to create good content on social media is bad advice for the vast majority of people who are using social media.
Right. I agree.
Your goal in using social media is to build some sort of repeatable system that is what's called low lift. Basically, it takes up almost none of your time and energy consistently. It doesn't require that. And then when you have a little bit more time and energy and you feel the pull towards doing it, you can put that in there. When you don't, you've got the stuff to repost. You've got the content upgrades. You've got the systems that are repeatable, that you can just put up ongoing.
Right.
And so that's why I was asking you about this dieting guide and kind of pulling back on that. Because if you say that that's the first step, and from what I know about Indian culture, from the people that I know, you're dead on. That's their stress. That's their frustration. They're eating mainly empty carbs. There's a lot of extras and crap put into the food because just cheap vegetarian food often has a lot of extra crap put into it that's just not very good for you and doesn't add nutritional value. And protein is, of course, the big problem. So it's like the happy Indian guide to getting more protein, the happy Indian guide to easily add more protein into your diet without giving up the foods that you grew up eating.
Yeah.
Right? Do one for breakfast. Do one for lunch. Do one for afternoon snacks. Do one for dinner. It's a very basic, like, stuff you already tell people, you probably have the stuff produced.
Right.
And then you put that as a call to action at the bottom of everything you do. DM me for the guide. And then if you don't feel like making content 1 week, or you're in a position like what I'm in, like what I was telling Anne earlier, where just personal stuff has come up. I have not created a new piece of content on Instagram in 3 weeks. How many people have noticed? I don't know. Nobody said anything to me. You repost stuff. Right? But at the bottom of it, you add your calls to action. And then when you have a little bit more energy and time, and you, or you think of something or whatever it is, sure, shoot a video.
Yeah.
But the better a job that you can do, especially on social media, of building in that repeatable system to get it to work for you, which largely means reposting content, republishing content, creating a few things like, call it guides, content upgrades, whatever it is. I mean, we use our podcast episodes. Right? You'd have to ask permission from your clients, but if you have a conversation with a client about one of these issues, for example, and you record it, and your client gives you permission to use it, you could use that as a, hey, I, you know, put a story up. I just had a conversation with my client, you know, whatever the name is, change their name, use a generic indie name, doesn't really matter, where I just had a 30-minute coaching call with my client to prepare them for Eid and make sure their fitness doesn't fall off. They gave me permission to share the link. If you'd like to hear it, DM me Eid.
Yeah.
Right? You're going to have 100 people DMing you that.
So funny. Yeah. Yeah. That's...
And then you're just going to be so busy in the DMs that you're going to have to get somebody else to, you know, do that responses for you at some point. But, you know, the job is not to remove problems. It's just to give a different set of problems, I guess, sometimes. My job. But yeah, I mean, repeatable systems. Don't feel like you got to make it up new every single time. It's impossible to maintain. You know, if your job was to be a full-time influencer living in an influencer house, eating $17 hummus that you got at the farmer's market in the Bay Area, then yeah, maybe. But it's not your coach.
Yeah. Yeah. The funny thing is I have those systems in place for coaching, and that's why that stuff never, like, you know, I never have to neglect that stuff because I have a lot of that stuff. I'm just like, I think I just overcomplicate stuff like social media when it's so simple, because I'm actually doing a group call with my clients because October is a whole month of like Indian festivals. And that's always like this time of the year is always so busy. And I'm just like, I could just use snippets from that group call that I'm doing with them since you said mentioned.
I mean, that's what we do in this group call, right? When you filled out the form, you checked off that you give permission for us to use it on the podcast. And if you said no on the form, we wouldn't use it. And if you said afterwards, you know, I said yes, but I really, you know, prefer you not to use it. Of course we wouldn't, right? But this one now hour that I've done with you gets cut up into 3 podcast episodes. Each of those podcast episodes then gets its own hook. Those podcast episodes then get promoted as content upgrades, which our team puts out on my social media, which when people respond to, engages them in a consultative conversation and hopes that they book in for a call. And it's just, if you're doing these calls anyway, you're dealing with the exact issues that everybody following you is going to be dealing with. And you're going to be able to help them in more detail and nuance and showcase just how special you are in your approach and how thoughtful you are, way more than you ever would in like a 14-second dancing clip, you know, pointing out words in space on a reel.
Yeah.
That's how you set yourself apart. That's why nobody hires influencers to be their coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Cool. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. That was super helpful.
All right. Thank you, everybody. We'll talk soon. Bye-bye.